Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're keeping an eye on the weather in Essex County. We're seeing that a tornado warning has been issued there, and residents are being told to take shelter. The warning has been extended, it looks like, now until 3:45.
And we'll bring you updates as they become available. But we'll begin today with the federal racketeering and murder trial of James Whitey Bulgers. Bulgers' attorney subjected a key government witness to withering cross-examination earlier today. The witness is former FBI Supervisor John Morris, who was granted immunity from prosecution in exchange for his testimony.
Back on the stand for the third and final time today, Morris was pressed about the gifts and money he accepted from Bulger, about his lies under oath, and about his decision to leak Bulger's informant status to the Boston Globe in 1988, which he described as the breaking point of his corrupt career.
Morris also apologized to the families of Brian Halloran and Michael Donahue for his role in their murders, and he admitted that he had failed in some of his duties as an FBI agent. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri is at the Moakley Courthouse today, and he joins us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Anthony.
Tell us more about who John Morris is and why he's such an important witness in the trial.
John Morris was the supervisor of the organized crime squad in the late 70s and the early 80s. And one of the people working under him was John Connolly. John Connolly turned out to be his best friend. John Connolly was also the handler of Whitey Bulger and Stephen Fleming, the secret informants. Connolly was corrupted by them, but so in turn was Morris. He took money from them. He tipped informants to them. He was involved in some of the most sordid and scandalous behavior in FBI history. But in this cross-examination, finally and finishing today, he has been absolutely humiliated.
Well, tell us more about this cross-examination, which sounded pretty dramatic.
John Morris is, in a way, has something in common with Hester Prynne of the Scarlet Letter. His letter around his neck is D for disgrace, but he's a lot less sympathetic than Hester Prynne. And here on the stand today, going through the disgrace that he has testified about in previous trials, he started quibbling with a defense attorney. He said he wanted to blame John Connolly for the fact that he was taking gifts. He said that Connolly had said to him, listen, if you want to give those gifts back, namely the expensive wines and the money, you have to do it yourself. He didn't do it. And this is where he opened himself up to withering cross-examination by Hank Brennan, the defense attorney for Whitey Bulger. He said, did you try and give them back? Did you call them up? No. Did you chase after them to give them back? No. You accepted it. Yes, he did, he said grudgingly. This went on and on, but perhaps the most outrageous and ludicrous moment of all was when Morris recounted being given $5,000 by Bulger at the door of his own home as Bulger was leaving the home, and he said, I didn't have a chance to give it back. I wanted to give it back, but when I opened the door, he handed it to me, and then he took off. I went looking for him. I couldn't find him. It was the whole idea. He couldn't get to him fast enough to give it back. And Morris also said at one point that he had never lied. He just omitted telling the truth. Well, over and over again, when he tried these evasions in his testimony, Morris was handed his head by the defense. And even at one point, the prosecution wanted to make Morris a hostile witness because they weren't happy with what he was saying.
That's amazing. So even the prosecution wasn't happy with him. But let me ask you this, David. At one point, as we mentioned in the introduction, Morris actually apologized to the families of Brian Halloran and Michael Donahue for his role in their murders. Tell us about that and what the family's reaction to what he said was.
Morris had information in 1982 that Halloran, a guy named Brian Halloran, was an informant, and he was informing on Whitey and Stephen Fleming, and he was implicating them in a crime. And so he knew that they had learned about Halloran, and inadvertently, Morris might have given the information to Bulger and Flemmy himself. And so he was addressed by the defense saying, "You were signing his death warrant, weren't you?" To which Morris said, no, I didn't do that. I thought they were going to be safe." To which the defense came back and said, "Did you write a report, sir?" "No." Did you tell those agents that were developing Halloran that they better protect him because he was about to be hit by Bulger and you were concerned for safety?" "No." "He did nothing to protect them." And at that point, Brennan said, "What would you say to these families? Have you ever thought of these families?" To which Morris turned to the families in the courtroom in a clearly planned event, and he said, "Not a day in my life has gone by that I haven't prayed to God that God give you a blessing and comfort for the pain you have suffered." That was in public, in front of the jury, outside. The families were disgusted with it. They both said that if they were talking to Morris, they would tell him where he could shove his apology.
WBUR senior reporter David Boeri reporting from Federal Courthouse in Boston. David, thanks so much.
You're welcome.